Well, howdy. It is good to be with you again. We're going to take a few minutes and use this venue just to share some things, these little clips that we're doing lately about this way of life that is the life that Jesus lives. In John 14, Jesus says that he was the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so there is a way of life that Jesus lives, and he himself is actually the one who lives that way. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And so the way that Jesus lives is the truth about everything the way life is supposed to be. That's normal. What Jesus does is normal. It's the truth. And so because you're in Christ and Christ is in you, Jesus is the truth about you, and he's the truth about every situation you find yourself in. There's a place in, and so we're going to talk about these little clips that we do are going to be just doing little snippets of what this way of life looks like. In Colossians chapter 3, a verse that I like to quote a lot says this, is verse 4, "For we have died, our life is hidden with Christ in God." That's verse 3, chapter 3, verse 3. "For we have died, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. Now when Christ, who is our life, is manifested, we're manifested with him in glory." And so what does that mean for Christ to be your life? When you hear that phrase, what does that mean to you? Does that mean to you that Jesus is your favorite, that you have great passion for Jesus, he's number one in your life? Well, that's all good, and that should be true. But what that scripture says is that Christ is your life. It's like Galatians 2:20. "I'm crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ who lives in me." Now, I'm still me. You're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. But Jesus is now the source of our life. He's now actually living his life through me because of our union with him. Because I'm in him and he's in me. So Christ is my life. And so Jesus is not only the standard. Let me put it this way. Not only is Jesus the source of living the Christian life, the life that he lives, therefore, is the standard. So you and I, when it says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, which defines the destiny that's already been predetermined for all of us, this is what it says: "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." In other words, there'd be many people, millions of people that would be Christ-like. Not Christ-like by imitation, but Christ-like by Jesus being our life and Jesus himself living his life in us and through us. And so no matter what your assignment may be, no matter what your ministry giftings may be, every one of us have the same predestiny that we would be Christ-like because Christ is our life. So let's talk about things that Christ does and Christ doesn't do. We'll do that little intro often, maybe a shorter version in the days ahead, so you understand we're talking about a way of life. So many times there's Christians referred to in the New Testament as people of the way. And so we're people of the way. What does that mean? The way of life that Jesus lives, which is totally other, totally different than the flesh and the world. Be not conformed to this world or the way the world sees and thinks and lives and behaves and reacts and responds, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As we learn to live with an abiding consciousness that we have died and Christ is now living his life in us and through us. That's what makes the new creation. So having said that, do you know that Jesus doesn't get frustrated? The way of life that he lives doesn't involve frustration or impatience. I've heard Christians for all my Christian life, the almost 50 years of walking with the Lord, say, "Don't ever pray for patience, because God will then allow things to come in your life that will teach you patience." Well, God can teach us to draw from patience, his patience, when we go through things in life. But understand that if Christ is in you, and if Christ is your life, and he lives in you by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. That's one of the aspects of the life that Jesus lives in you. So you've already have deposited in you the patient life of Jesus, the non-frustrated life of Jesus. And therefore, in your walk with him, by the very fact that Jesus doesn't get impatient and Jesus doesn't get frustrated and he's your life, then he's inviting you to, in surrender and childlike faith, trust him, give him permission to live that patient, impatient-free and frustration-free life through you, because he doesn't get frustrated and he doesn't get impatient ever. That's remarkable. And you might say to me, well, Chuck, that seems so impossible because there are things in life that are frustrating. But the Christian life is impossible. It is Jesus. It's Christ living through us a life that is impossible for us to live on our own, even if we're trying to do it for him. It's the otherness of Jesus. That's holiness. The otherness of Jesus being lived out through us, this way of life he lives. And Jesus doesn't lose his patience. He has no last nerve, and he doesn't get frustrated. But here's the thing I want you to see. That's not meant to be a rebuke. It's not meant to condemn you. Whenever the Lord's convicting you, he's actually always, that conviction is actually an invitation to join him and participate in the life that he lives. And the life that he lives involves not getting impatient and not being frustrated. Remember that place that I quoted just a minute ago, Romans 12:2. You know, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that God's will is good and perfect and acceptable. Well, the first verse before that, Romans 12:1, sets the stage for everything else. You know, it says, "For I beseech you, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship." So having decided that, yes, I surrender everything to him because I want him to live his life through me, then daily it's worked out with the don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think as Jesus thinks. See as Jesus sees. Feel what Jesus feels. And Jesus doesn't think through the lens of impatience and frustration. This is so real to him that I have a dog named Maud, and Maud is almost 2 years old, Labrador, Golden Labrador. And also have a cat named Fred, which is also a female. And one day, the last few weeks, the Lord was also inviting me to not get frustrated with Maud or impatient with Maud, because sometimes Maud, the dog, doesn't always do what I say to do when I want her to say it, when I want her to do it. If she's a talking dog, that would really be a miracle. But she's sweet as she can be, but sometimes she just doesn't pay attention or goes about things her own way. And you say, well, what's the other wrong getting frustrated with a dog? It's just a dog. It's not about the dog. It's about the fact that Jesus doesn't do a life of frustration and doesn't do a life of impatience. And so he was using my relationship with my animals to help me to remember that he doesn't do that. He doesn't get frustrated, period. He doesn't get impatient, period. And it's been so fun to watch, to experience and watch this walk that I do in union with Christ as I'm moment by moment, in terms of my relationship with my pets, choosing to be surrendered, that Jesus is my life, and therefore I'm allowing him to live from me and participating in the fact he doesn't lose his patience. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not a yeller, and I don't walk around screaming at my dog all the time, but sometimes I get in a hurry, and Maud won't do the things I want her to do as fast as I want her to do them, or won't come when I want her to come, or whatever. But Jesus wants me to live a life free of impatience and frustration. That is so cool. And he's used even my dog, not just people, but he even used my dog to teach me. It's not just about you don't want to be impatient with a person because that could hurt them. That's true. But it's about the fact that Jesus just doesn't do impatience and he doesn't do frustration. And when you see that and when you surrender to that, it is so gloriously free. There's such freedom because there's no joy in feeling impatience and feeling frustrated, even if it's directed towards a person or even your pet. Okay, well, that's it today. We'll continue to talk about this way of life and all the different things, the ways that Jesus lives and the way that he sees things, the way he feels about things, the way he thinks about things, the way he responds to things and to people and to animals. Okay? All right, love you. Have a great day.